Okay.
I don't have, coming from New York, we don't have a team.
Right. Coming from a small school, you don't have a guy.
New York, New York? Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. Come on in. We haven't started yet. I had to start the computer. All right, Gunther's. All right. Welcome, everybody, on this rainy day. Boy, in St. Louis, the weather changes quick, doesn't it?
Yep.
It's not like California where it's all the same. But anyway, welcome to Hebrew Club. We are on chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, and we're beginning, I think, at verse 18, correct? So we're ready to start at verse 18 of 2 Samuel 12. This is the aftermath of Nathan's prophecy, and we read about the child that David and Bathsheba had. All right, verse 18. Vayehi bayom ha-shevi'i vayamata yelad. Vayiru avdei David lehagid lo kimet ha-yelad. Ki amru hine vihyot ha-yelad chai. Dibarnu elav velo shama bekolenu. Ve'ek nomar elav met ha-yelad ve'asara'a. That's a mouthful. Now, notice the temporal construction, very typical, vayahi plus a bait. And so it happened on the day, the seventh. So it happened on the seventh day. Notice the gentilic shevi'i, the hirik yud at the end. And so this functions just like a regular adjective. It happened on the day, the seventh day, comma, notice with a following up the temporal clause with a vav consecutive. So we could even, very idiomatically, on the seventh day, Hayeled Yamat, the child died. That's from Moot. All right? Va-yira'u. Now, notice in this word that when you just look at it, the root could be ra'a, could be to see, or it could be yare, right? What help did the Masoretes give you to show you that it's one, not the other? Anyone know? Yeah, notice the yud. You have that little vertical line there. And that's telling you that you pause there, so that this is from Yare, to be afraid. So it's actually Va-yira'u, all right? And so it's Avdei David, the servants of David were afraid, Lahagid, to tell him, okay, from Nagad at Hifil. Notice it after a verb of perception, or after the verb Yare, they were afraid, this is the object, to tell him, ki Meit hayeled, that the child had died. Okay, again, that's just a call, perfect, third masculine, singular. Ki amru hine, for they said, all right, hine, look, biyot hayeled chai. Here, biyot is a call infinitive construct from hayan, very literally, in the child's being alive, or in the being of the child alive. We would translate it temporally again. When the child was alive, we spoke to him, Debarnu Elanu. We spoke to him, Velo Shama, and he did not listen, Bekolenu. He did not listen to our voice. All right? Va'ek, so how, Nomar Elav? How can we say to him, Meit Hayeled, the child has died? And he might do, see, Va'asa, he might do Ra, he might do harm, he might do. So usually the translations figure that David is a subject. They were worried that if they tell him, he might do something worse. You know, remember, he's already sleeping outside on the ground. And they asked him to come in, and he wouldn't. So they were worried. Okay? Questions on verse 18? Yeah, Will.
But the Masoretic help for the Ra'ah, Yara,
yeah.
Is it usually like that?
Yeah, they commonly will do that if there's ambiguity. I can't say that always is the case. And so there are certain texts in which, when you're reading the context, it could be either they saw or they were afraid, or he saw or he was afraid. And sometimes you'll see translations differ on that. Okay. Good. Any other questions? All right, verse 19. Vayar David ki Avadav mit lachashim, vayavin David ki meit hayeled. Vayomer David el avadav ha meit hayeled, vayomru meit. And David saw. Here's Vayar again, call imperfect vav consecutive with a patach under the yud, very regular, even though it's a call form. And David saw that his servants mitlachashim. Notice that the conjugation is a hit pael participle, masculine plural, from what root? Lachash, yeah, and you translate they were whispering together or with each other, see? So David saw that his servants were whispering among themselves. That, notice the hit pael, kind of reflexive. So they're whispering among themselves. Vayavan David, and David perceived. Notice it's a hollow root from bean, to understand. And David understood or perceived that mate hayelet, that the child had died. Vayomer, and David said to his servants, notice here you have the interrogative hey, has died the child? Has the child died? And they said, mate, he has died. Okay? Questions through 19. Yeah, I know. Yeah, there was whispering. They kind of knew. And yeah, they finally had to come out with it. Yeah, it's very terse, isn't it? And they said, he's died. No one wanted to say it, you can almost see. But again, notice how in the narrative you're getting a lot of repetition of vocab. It's very helpful for us as we're reading. Okay, now here's how David acts. Boy, they probably said mate and were waiting to see what David would do. Okay, verse 20. Vayakam David me haaretz. Vayirchatz vayasek. Vayechaleif sim lotav. Okay. So then David got up from kum, from the ground. Vayir chatz, and he washed, from rachatz. Vayasek, and he anointed himself. This is from suk, so it's a hollow verb, and so, you know, what it means is he rubbed himself down with oil. Okay. Vayechaleif, and he changed sim lotav, his garments. So Yechalech is a vav consecutive, imperfect vav consecutive, piel. Notice the Yechalech, the dagesh and the lamed indicating the doubling. He changed his garments. Notice the Masoretes wants you to read the plural form, and you can even see that out to the side, and not the singular simloto. So I read it simlotav. He changed his garments. Vayavo veit Yahweh. And he went to the house of the Lord. This is very interesting. He went to the house of the Lord, vayishtachu, and he worshipped. From Chava. Notice that this is that hishtafel form from Chava, and he worshipped. Okay? Vayavo el beito, and he went to his house, vayishal, vayasimu lo lechem vayokal, and he asked, and they set before him, lo, food, lechem. Vayokal, and he ate. All right, so he did kind of the opposite of what his servants thought he was going to do. Any questions through 20? All right. So they got question, Michael?
So he asked if food would be understood.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good question. We'd probably have to say, and he requested food, and they put before him food, right? Yeah. Or he made the request, and the people put before him food. Yeah. Good. All right, verse 21. Vayomru avdav elav. Mahadavar hazeh asher asita. Ba'avur hayeled chai. Zamta vatevk. Vekasher meitz hayeled. Kamta vatokal lachem. And his servant said to him, what is this thing which you have done? Now notice ba'avur usually means on account of or for the sake of. Okay? So kind of, we would probably translate on, what is this that you have done? Due to the fact that the child was living, or in view of the fact that when the child was living, chai, zamta, you fasted. Notice that this is simply a perfect second masculine singular from a hollow root, zoom. So it's formed just like kamta, zamta. So when the child was living, you fasted. Vatevk. Anyone see the root of vatevk? It's kind of hard. Yeah, very good. It's a third hey verb. And remember, vav consecutive. This is second masculine singular. Vav consecutives, they shorten up, and it looks really strange. So it's a second masculine singular. So you fasted, and you wept from Baka.
Why is that a Syria under anything?
Yeah. It's just the form of the what it takes when it shortens up. You have like Bana, it's Yivan. Here it takes the Sere. I don't know. I mean, it's just one of the peculiar. Notice that there's a pause there that lengthens the vowel, and that may have something to do with it as well. Okay. So you fasted and wept, Vekasher, but as soon as Meit Hayeled, as soon as the child died, Kamta, you got up, Vatokalachem, and you ate bread. You ate food. So notice it's a it's kind of a question. Okay, what's going on here? Why'd you do this? Okay. Questions through 21. All right, 22. Vayomer, Be'od Hayeled Chai, Zamti Va'evke, Ki Amarti, Mi Yodea, Yechanani, Yahweh V'chai Hayeled. And he said, while still, see, Be'od, while still the child Chai was alive, Zamti, I fasted, Va'evka, and I wept. Now I want you to notice that Va'evka. It's a call imperfect, Vav consecutive. Notice it's a Vav consecutive, imperfect, first common singular. But rather than being written kind of plain A or shortened, you have that hey at the end. And in a lot of, well, you'll see this, especially in later manuscripts. You see it a lot in Qumran. But you're seeing it here as well. Rather than shortening the first common singular, it lengthens. And I'm not sure what the explanation is and how consistent it is from book to book, see, and manuscript to manuscript. But notice it's a long form. If you took off the Vav consecutive, it looked just like a coordinative. See, but it's a Vav consecutive. So I fasted and I wept. And so notice that in the second masculine singular, they shorten it, Vatevk. But in the first common singular, evka, it's that hey at the end. Okay? So while child was living, I fasted and wept. For I thought, Amarti, I thought, mi yodea, who knows? Who knows? Yechanani Yahweh. Yahweh may be gracious to me. So this is from Chanan. Notice it's a PL imperfect with the first common singular suffix. So Yahweh might be compassionate to me. And the child, vechai, and the child might live. So notice how you're kind of adding the verbs here according to what you see as the force of what David has said. The reason he fasted was in hopes of persuading Yahweh to be gracious, or in the hope that he might be gracious. Okay. Verse 23, Va'atameit, but now that he has died, Lamaza anitzam. Now notice what the ze does. The ze is kind of an enclitic, usually thought of as an enclitic to a word like lama to give it emphasis. But now that he has died, why in the world would I tzom fast? Notice that that's the participle tzom. Why in the world would I fast? Ha'u kal la'ashivo od. The hey is an interrogative hey. The u kal is from the root yakal, notice, to be able, yakal. So it would be, the interrogative hey would make it, am I able, lahashivo, to bring him back. This is just a hifil infinitive from shuv. Am I able to bring him back again, od. Okay. Now, ani holek elav, look at this, I'm going to go, notice that's a call participle, so I'm going to go, elav, to him. Velo, lo, yashuv, elai. But he will not return to me. Very interesting. See the ramifications of what David is saying here. Very theologically full statement. All right. Questions through 23. Yeah, Will.
A couple. First with this ha-u-kal.
Yes.
Because the yud changes to a vav.
Yes.
What?
Okay, this is that, yeah, that's a good question. This is one word, I don't know if it's the only word, but one of the few words that actually has this kind of strange form for the imperfect. So he will be able, or he will prevail, as you call. So and you've seen that. It's just the way that the thing is formed, yeah. And in fact, if you look at the Masoretic note at the end, when it comes to this form, Notice you have that lamed that is directing you, and that's shortened Aramaic for there is no other place. So it is a unique form, although you see you call all the time for he will prevail. Yes?
So all babies who die go to heaven?
Oh, I don't know if I would make that assumption based on this. It's just that David's hope and trust. Notice it's. You could look at this from two ways. I will go to him, and namely, I'm going to die just like he is. Or you could say, that's why I'm saying, from our perspective, is this making a theological statement about his hope for life after death? All right. So it's kind of, it doesn't say it itself. You have to interpret it in one way or the other, depending on what you see as David's faith and beliefs.
I think it's interesting that we don't see many times where in the Bible where somebody does something wrong and then repents, mm-hmm. kind of fasts, puts on sackcloth, and God still carries out the judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, see, it's really interesting. I mean, how God deals with David here, first of all, by saying he's put away his sin, you won't die, but your child will. And then when David fasts, he carries it out. But see, notice David's kind of confidence in Yahweh. That's why, you know, for us it's very pleasing to take this as Yahweh's taking care of this child even beyond the grave. And I'm going to be taken care of too beyond the grave, rather than just an oblique reference to I'm going to go to the dust, just like he's going to the dust, which is probably, I would say, how most Bible interpreters would take the statement, kind of like that, rather than as a expression of my hope for life beyond the grave.
I think it has a lot to do too with the expression he was gathered to his mm-hmm. fathers.
Yeah, that's usually
either way,
right. Yeah, because Saul, that happened to Saul as well. I mean, it's generally we take that as, okay, he died with his relationship with the Lord. But again, you can't say that in every place. It's totally clear that.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, so we're looking here and we're reading along and we know the faith of David and we know his hopes. And so it's very natural for us to say, he's expressing his faith here. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think he can make a good argument for that.
Seems to go in line with his behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're saying the kid's dead, he's in the abyss, and one day I'll be dead and won't be anymore.
It's kind of hopeless.
You know,
yeah.
Join him in that.
Yeah.
That
see, it's,
really seem like
right. See, it's kind of this hopeful note in behind all of this, mm-hmm. that is really, yeah. Like I said, it's kind of theologically really an interesting thing to. It makes you reassess, step back a little bit from this whole episode between David and Yahweh, and kind of assess now where those two are in their relationship with each other, see? And what that means for us eventually, too, kind of. Okay? So he didn't grieve over... the interesting thing is he did... You would think that he would do those things. The natural way you express grief is just what he did. You know, you put dirt on yourself, you dress in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, that's just how he did it. But when the child died, he didn't grieve. He did just the opposite. Knowing, okay, this is all in Yahweh's hands now, and what good is it for me? You know, this is past. He won't come back to me. I'm going to go to him. And so it's really interesting. Really interesting. Okay, good. Let's go to 24 then. Vayenachem David et Bathsheba. Now finally Bathsheba comes back. Notice that she has been kind of eclipsed in the narrative with this whole thing. Okay, so David comforted Bathsheba. Here's the PL from Nachum, Yenachem. David comforted Bathsheba, Ishto, his wife. Notice that the author here is calling Bathsheba Ishto, his wife. Va yavo eleha, and he went to her. Va yishkav imma, and he slept with her, imma. Va telek bain, and she bore a son. Notice how the narrator is just interested in summarizing. He doesn't slow anything down, as opposed to Genesis 3, the temptation. So he slept with her. Next thing you know, she bore a son. Okay? Vayikra et Shemo. And he called his name Shlomo, Solomon. Okay? Vayahweh Ahevo. And Yahweh loved him. This is a call, third masculine singular, and God, and Yahweh loved him. I think it's referring to Shlomo. Yahweh loved him. Okay. Vayishlach, now notice Yahweh is still the subject, and Yahweh sent, and notice we would understand like we have before, sent a message, Beyad Natan Hanavi, by the hand of Nathan the prophet. And he called, Vayikrat Shemo, he called his name Yedi Deya. Yedi Deya. Anyone see what that means? He called his name Yedi Deya. Beloved of Yahweh. See, Yadid means beloved, and then Yah. So this is actually his name, Yedi Deya. Okay, he called his name Yedi Deya on account of Ba'avur, on account of Yahweh. I don't know if because Yahweh told him to or because, he received that assurance from Nathan. See, notice you have this thing, God, Yahweh loved him. Well, how in the heck did the author know that? Well, see, what he meant to say, here's how I know, because Yahweh sent through the hand of Nathan the prophet just this message that maybe this one wasn't going to die, that by loving, see, it's very pregnant, meaning the covenant that I made with you is still intact, and this is the one through whom it's going to come, or something like that. See, notice that loved is a very pregnant term, full of implication there. Yahweh loved him. Okay, so notice this narrative. You know, you can blow right through it when you read it. There's just some really, the end of this chapter is really significant theologically. Good, you know, it's a good text for us to think about God's relationship with his people, with David, with the promise, everything, given David's actions. God loved him in spite of all these actions. His behavior had nothing to do, in a sense, with Yahweh's love of David. Okay, that's kind of grace. You see it kind of in stark contrast to Saul, as we've talked about. All right, very good. We'll stop here, and we'll finish this chapter. Oh, next week we won't meet because we'll be... I'll be in California. You guys will be wherever you'll be.
You gotta get someone to...
Well, it's Easter.
Oh, it's Easter?
Yeah, so you won't be here either.
I won't be here.
Yeah, so we'll meet when we come back from Easter the following week.
You'll be in Cali, huh?
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Your daughter?
Yeah, daughters. They'll have a good time. Both are mine. They'll have a good time. You'll be in Milwaukee, right?
That's right. I'll be cold, you'll be hot.
I know. I hope I'm burning up.